Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
What happens tonight?
Well, first of all, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that we just go rogue. We just go rogue. It makes business sexy again. Here we are going rogue. Today is November 3rd, 2020. This is a recording day, but it's not an air date. This will air
sometime
next Thursday. Sad. The 12th, November 12th, which is our 100th episode.
Sweet.
So this is our 100th episode, and today is election day.
Yeah, incidentally, this morning, I was trying to make a post. You know, everybody's got their I voted post. So I looked up the date when women were granted the right to vote, which is the 19th Amendment that happened on August 18th, 1920, officially ratified and put into practice. And that makes it 100 years ago from 2020 that women were given the right to vote. Thank goodness. So we can help these men figure things out. And so also 144 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed. So there was 144 years where women in America did not have the right to vote. So vote, please.
And by the time people listen to this episode, we don't know what is going to be going on in this world.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to reflect on Thursday when this episode comes out, because I think tomorrow will be very interesting. Regardless of which way the election goes this time, there's heated opinions on both sides, so it'll be interesting. Yep.
Yeah, there's all kinds of heated opinions.
And we'll see them all on Facebook starting late this evening, if you're still awake, which I will not be.
And when this episode comes out, I'm not sure if we'll have a new president. You know, we don't know, because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of claiming of, you know, whatever, voter whatever, recounting whatever. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But you know what I found? So you brought up this idea of the 100 years, and I dug a little deeper.
Ooh, what else happened 100 years ago?
Well, I mean, women got the right to vote, but not all women. White women,
right,
got the right to vote. So I found that really interesting, because I really started digging deeper into it. And you know, the divide that happened, right? Because the suffrage came out of, why can I never say it? It starts with an A. Abolition?
Abolition. The abolition of slavery.
Yes, thank you. So women's suffrage came out of that. And the pursuit to vote. But then white women got the right, but black women did not get the right. And I guess I knew this, but I forgot. I didn't realize that black men got the right to vote before white women.
Mm-hmm.
And then black women really didn't get the right to vote till 1965.
Yeah, and I was just actually studying this with Roxy in her history. They just finished Jim Crow laws and then the suffrage and women's right to vote and all those things. And black men were granted the right to vote, but then all the Jim Crow laws came around, and there were like taxes placed on voting and things like that.
That
prevented the just reasons that were created to keep black males from voting.
Yeah, here's your right to vote, but now we're going to have a bunch of obstacles that will prevent you from actually doing it. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, it's a scary world we live in, but it's also a wonderful world. There's, you know, if you really, when people get a little bit bent out of shape about the way the world is today, I like to point out it's kind of the best time ever to be alive, because there's a lot less chance of someone, you know, attacking you with a sword. You know, as a female, like, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. And like, if you weren't royalty, you were basically getting, if you're a beautiful woman, you were either getting raped at some point or you were going to become a prostitute, because that's what happened. And you just were lucky to get through the day without somebody sticking a sword through you, you know, and that's actually how the world really was. It really, really was. Like, people used to do whatever to each other. And over time, it's gotten to a place where there's laws and there's, you know, police and things to keep the peace. And as well, we're living in a time where you don't even have to leave your house and you can make money online. Like, you can learn how to do anything on YouTube, anything, name
anything.
It. I mean, and there's no reason why someone who wants to get ahead can't get ahead. It's all a matter of mindset in today's world, because there's endless amounts of opportunities to just start, like, online businesses, affiliate marketing, you know, Amazon sales. Just, there's just so many opportunities. If you have a car, you can drive Uber. Like, there's just things that didn't exist. And it'll be interesting to see in 5 more years what exists.
I agree. And I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate with you, because I think there are still some people who are going to say, yeah, okay, Rachel, we still don't all have the same ability to have whatever we want because we have these other obstacles in our way.
Such as?
What say you? I mean, there are still going to be people who feel like they don't have the money to get where they need to get, or because of race, they're discriminated against, or...
Well, and some of that may be valid, depending on the circumstance, but overall, you can look at any type of scenario, like Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness example. Some of the greatest successes and achievers in life were people who had no opportunity, no chance in hell, you know, nothing. Like, yeah. I'm addicted to listening to Hamilton right now. Alexander Hamilton, he was an orphan. He was... an immigrant. He was poor. He had nothing. Like, he was low class, and he did all the things. Like, he created incredible, incredible things. But it's a matter of choice, in my opinion. And not to say that somebody who is being facing obstacles might face a relentless amount of obstacles. But your choice is, like, mm-hmm. Do I live my life as a victim and go, well, I just don't have the opportunity like everybody else? Or do you find the scenario and find the place where you can create opportunity for yourself? I don't like fucking whiners at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I was throwing that devil's advocate thing out there because somebody is thinking that while they're listening to us.
That's why Eeyore is in Winnie the Pooh. Because the Eeyore exists. Wah, everything's so hard. No one has it as hard as me. Why is this always happening to me?
Now, I'm with you.
I know, because I used to be that person.
You and I both have grit of, like, making things happen. And, oh, what is the book? I can't remember the name of it now. No, not grit. It was, it'll come to me. I gotta look for it on my phone.
So to the people who are listening and still going, yeah, well, she has it made and she doesn't know what my situation is, I challenge you to ask yourself, so what is really your obstacle? What is the obstacle? Face the real obstacle and then figure out a way around it. Because a lot of times what we do with an obstacle or a perceived obstacle is we stand there and point at it and try to tell everybody about it and then try to get everybody to agree with us that this obstacle is so awful and let other people buy into this mm-hmm. fucking obstacle instead of just like use your brains and your head and use your skills and use your resources to figure out how to overcome the obstacle, or is if it's worth the effort. It might just not be worth the battle. It might be the wrong obstacle. You might be facing like the totally wrong. It might not be the direction. And the reason that the obstacle is placed there is because you shouldn't go that direction.
The book is called Super Normal.
Oh yeah, I haven't read that one yet.
I'm looking at the subtitle because what I really liked about this book. Where'd it go? The subtitle is something like, you know, overcoming adversity or something like that. But it did a study on adults who became really successful adults, including Oprah and Denzel Washington and I forget who else. Those are the first two that come to mind. And they did a study on like the adversity in their childhood, how that adversity is what led to why they were so successful later in life.
Mm-hmm. Because you get grit early on. My kid doesn't have grit. She's spoiled. I admit it. I try to teach her what grit looks like, especially by example. But she, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm teaching her grit, but she's, you know, it's a different world. Everything is so instant for kids these days.
So what would your advice be on changing that? Because you do see a lot of parents who, because I think and I'm not a parent, but I think the parents always have the mindset of, I want my kids to have what I didn't have. And so you want to make it easier for them.
I don't necessarily want to make it easier for her. Because you don't learn through easy. But I do want her to have more knowledge than I had. Like, I had to learn the hard way about thinking that I needed to sexually perform in order to be loved. And in order to, like, go through this long period of time to figure out self-love. And so Roxy and I have already had that. So y'all know we've had the sex ed conversation a long time ago. And like, I most importantly want her to know you don't have to do anything you don't want to. And the other thing is, so Roxy went to Montessori for the first, like through fourth grade, she did, or part of fourth grade. And what a lot of Montessori teaching is what the child can do, let the child do. And so I think a lot of the helicopter parents out there, and I try not to be a helicopter parent, but at times I am one just because my problem, and it's my problem in all of delegation, is that I'll just do it myself. It'll be faster and better rather than let her do it. So I am pretty good about certain things. Like if she goes, will you get me something to drink? I'm like, no, you can get up and get it yourself. And I'm not doing that because I can't get her something, but I don't want her to become a person who is entitled and thinks that other people should be getting her what she wants in life. She should be getting what she wants in life.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. I think a really big one, because I experienced it before when teaching dance in the past, and I've learned some things, that sometimes parents... And I think this happens in school too. Parents used to believe the teacher when the teacher said, little Susie is acting out of line. Now, parents tend to believe little Susie when little Susie says the teacher is not treating them nice. And so it becomes a scenario where you're like, why is the teacher doing this? And I, you know, with Roxy's bullying scenario, I thought at first it was, actually she never really complained about the teacher. It was just some other kids in the class. But you first have to figure out, like, go and have a conference with the teacher. Go and sit down and really figure out what is the real deal. Because I don't believe that anybody who teaches children gets into it to, like, just be a fucking asshole. Like, they love children, otherwise they wouldn't be there. And they want to create, their job is to create the best kid they can within the restrictions of whatever they're dealing with, you know, school regulations. But like, I think that's one big one, because I've sat in a room before and had a parent yell at me when their kid was the one that was not prepared And I got called out because their kid was not prepared. And I'm like, shouldn't this be a learning lesson for the child? But no, it wasn't. So that kind of parenting I think is teaching kids the wrong thing, maybe. I ain't perfect. Shit. But I think my job as parent in 2020 is to try to prepare my child for a world that is rapidly changing and full of a lot of obstacles, and try to teach her resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And how to learn quickly. You know, through all of this COVID stuff, I've been teaching her, look, this is what you have to accomplish. If you can accomplish it faster and then get on with stuff you want to do during your day, great. That's what that's sometimes what your work is. I have to accomplish this list of tasks. Mm-hmm. When those tasks are done, I can watch TV. Sometimes it takes 8 hours. Sometimes it takes 12 hours. Sometimes it takes 3 hours.
Responsibility versus freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my father always taught. Like, he set the parameters. As long as I got good grades, stayed out of trouble, didn't come home pregnant, all the things, didn't do drugs. As long as I did all those things, I got so much freedom to do whatever I wanted. He wasn't the best parent. My parents weren't the best parents. But I ended up somewhat okay.
You're still with us.
Resilient as fuck.
On the right side of the table with Televerde.
Knock wood. Mm-hmm. Never been arrested.
We got close down in Fort Lauderdale, though. So 100 episodes later, you know,
we are women who speak our minds. Speaking of, you know, women's suffrage and 100 years of at least white women getting to vote. I think it's, as this show has always been about, it's about taking a stand for the things that you want, going after the things that you want. Even if that's buy one, get one at dinner.
Ooh.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, right.
Isn't
I thought you were talking about dinner now. I'm on such restricted nutrition. Everything sounds like the greatest thing in the world. Tell me more about that buy one, get one dinner.
Let me tell you about the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Actually, I'm not worried about all-you-can-eat. I'm worried about quality of what I eat. So, also on this date, November 3rd, I am, 5 days out?
Mm-hmm.
From my bikini competition show for the first time. This is called Peak Week. And I've got a fantastic steak dinner planned for after the show.
Peak Week?
Peak Week.
Peak Week. It's kind of like, sounds like peak up almost.
Yeah, I've done some more research on this scenario as well, the peak up, to be continued. Yeah, what I think I'm going to do the next time around, because this won't be my only competition, I'll do another one. But the next time when I, depending on if it's right away or if it's in the spring, I'm going to document it a little bit more closely of exactly what goes down.
Hey, Warners, are you having a great time listening to this episode? We know we are. Hey, if you want to connect with us directly, don't forget you can do that at our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. You can find Rachel, Keith, and myself there, along with all of our social media links, especially Keith, who you can only find on LinkedIn. But that's cool. And now back to the show.
What does peak week mean? Peak week means that from leaning out, there's a certain science behind filling back out the muscles. So I'm not just super scrawny, but that in bikini, you want to look still full, not just super duper shredded. So, okay. You know, without really divulging all the details of what my coaches do for me, it's just every single day is a different type of workout. They're backing me off of some of the intensity. My nutrition adjusts day to day. It's different each day. My macros are different each day. water intake is a little bit different each day, sodium intake a little bit different each day. So it's very calculated. So like in the very, I remember in the very beginning, Lauren telling me, my coach Lauren with Bare Aesthetics, that sometimes she sees girls that will like plan their whole day of eating in advance. So then you know, okay, I eat 4 ounces of chicken at lunch, and then I get two teaspoons of honey mustard, and then two tortillas, and like, and so I have started doing that. Like, I'll plan out the whole rest of the day. So I got a little bit more carbs today. So I made these protein pancakes with a little bit of peanut butter on it. And Gretchen, my daughter's tutor, came in, and I was just like, had my head in my hands, like, this is so good. So good. So good. It was. I found myself eating like some green peas with like a fourth of a teaspoon of butter on it. And I'm like, this is really fucking good.
This fourth of a teaspoon of butter.
It really is eye-opening of like how much we don't think about what goes down the hatch. You know what here's a really, really interesting, and I don't know if I mentioned this before, but it's more and more what people say to me now that they've been following my journey a little bit, or especially at the gym, they'll immediately tell me and pull up pictures on Facebook from the past of how they used to look like me. And I'm like, you don't look like me right there. Just totally different. You look great. You look amazing in that picture. You look amazing. You look great. And you look great now. So I don't know why you're upset, why you're trying to justify to me. But you do not look like me, because this is a whole nother animal. I've never looked like me. And I have looked pretty darn good for many years as a dancer. And I've never looked like me. So you don't look like me in the picture. But they all do it. They're like, I used to look like you. See, look.
Like, that I is didn't, so it's funny.
Many people.
So, I mean, your transformation. I'm like, when you see the pictures side by side, you're like, old Rachel, she was okay.
And I was pretty okay.
I'm just saying, like, you're fucking shredded.
Oh, God.
Right? It's like, it's so obvious how much your body has changed.
Oh, it's insane. And then when you see me, are you going to be there tomorrow for hair?
Yes. Yeah.
So you'll see, seeing me in person is different than seeing these pictures too, because I see me in person, I'm like, whoa. And it's really hard work, my hard work, plus my coach's instruction. Anybody can do it. I've worked at fitness for years and years and years and years, but anybody can do it. It's hard shit though. I just, when people will disagree and they'll say, I can never do that. Yes, you can. If you want, it could take you 3 years to shred down. If you were still commit, if you stay committed,
this goes back
a lot faster. It took me, you saw the transformation. The transformation was about, the profound transformation was about 7 weeks, but the full transformation was about 6 months.
Yeah. And going back to something that you said earlier, this goes back to, once again, like, you can have anything you want. If you want it bad enough, if you work for it, if you put in the time that you got to put in to get there, you really can't achieve anything you want.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Incidentally, the first step, in my opinion, to getting there is figuring out your schedule. So I'm working on completing an ebook that's going to come out soon. That's just a quick guide on getting your schedule under control. Because I think that's a big excuse for people that, I mean, I spend 3 hours at the gym every morning. But guess what? Yeah. Nobody has 3 hours to spend at the gym, but I do, because I get up at 3:45 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. That's how I do it.
It's a choice.
I went to bed at 7:30 last night, but it's a choice. It's an opportunity available to anybody. And that's what this ebook talks about, is looking really at your schedule and where is it that you can shift? Where are you losing time? Because we have the same amount of time in the day, everybody. And it's a matter of, okay, if you set a goal, where are you going to put that in each day? Because some really huge goals, you could spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day. You could spend an hour a day for a year and the change would be profound, no matter what it is, whether it's studying a certain subject or, you know, working on your relationship or, you know, getting in shape, all those things. But it's the schedule is first. So watch for that. It's going to be on my website, UltraFit Lifestyle.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I you know what I had to do? And here's my advice to you on shit that you have been procrastinating. And it's what helped me in my process, bikini too. I just hired somebody to put fire under my ass on it. There's a gal who is going to prettify my ebook for me. And she also has an ebook herself that's how to sell your ebook, how to get it together and have a really quick system of selling it. And, you know, right there, bing, bang. And she, just even talking to her, like I was like, hey, I want to get you to help me do my ebook. And it's not quite done yet. But just after having that conversation, I finished it that night because, you know, I spoke life into it.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have people like, but Rachel, I don't have money to hire somebody to do that. Like you have money to hire somebody.
So trade.
No excuses, bitches. No excuses.
Mm-hmm. Trade. What do you have? Barter. Shoot, man.
Yeah.
My husband says, what does he say? I'm all about like beads and arrowheads. Let's trade up when it comes to like services and things like that.
I've done a lot of that this year.
Yeah. It's a great thing to keep in mind. You know, you and I both, Gina, have been there where we had no money. I've been in a place where it just was bad. And I would just like figure out what can I sell next? You know, I've been there. I know what that is. And it's funny because I was just talking about this to Felix about when we were both freaking hungry and wishing the phone would ring, you know, because everybody's there at some point. And I said, you know, I remember like making this conscious decision. And it was probably because I listened to some book that was like, I choose abundance. I no longer was that person that would go, oh my God, that's so expensive. I can't do that. Because when you say that, then you can't. Now I'm like, if something comes up, like something came up this week that I was like, oh man, that's a lot more money than I wanted to shell out right now. And then I went, oh yeah, I forgot. I got this referral fee that showed up right on time for me to pay this other thing. So if you believe that the universe will provide what you need, it will. But you just have to be open to the possibility and the probability that it's all going to work out somehow.
Well, it goes back to mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about this a lot at Sales Gravy in sales training, in the mindset. If you think you can, you will. If you think you can't, you won't.
Yep.
It's pretty simple. You're either going to get the sale or you're not going to get the sale. But if you think you're going to get it, you're going to get it.
But Gina, it's not that easy. Who are these whiny people you keep bringing up? This must be a Sales Gravy thing. Is that what Jeb does?
No,
does somebody throw
no.
that devil's advocate in us all the time?
No, that's me. No, it's totally
people.
Me.
Tell the whiny Gina to go away.
It's totally me because you know there's always one of those listening to this show.
There's always a lot of them. And you know, that the ones that might identify yourselves as that girl or guy, ask yourself why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Why don't you think that you are just as good as any other person that can achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve? Because I think that's what holds people back.
I think people self-sabotage.
You know, and I'm super good at it. Like I used to self-sabotage all the time and I wish that I didn't spend so much time doing that. Like I wish I could have seen the beauty that other people see. I wish I could have seen the talent that other people see. I wish I could have seen the intelligence that other people could see because I was too busy telling myself, oh my God, you're so fat. Oh my God, you're no good. Oh my God, you're so dumb. Like,
well, it's self-loathing and lack of self-worth.
Yes. Go get some therapy quick. Do that. That'll help.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, the self-worth thing is what holds people back in getting what they want to get.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got such great mindset coaching going on right now with mental management. mental management systems, they're called. Heather Sumlin is my coach, and she's been prepping me for my mindset backstage and my mindset on stage, because it's a different competition's a different mindset than performance. Yeah. Performance is more like a freedom. And competition is this competition in this sense is feels like I have to hit certain milestones, let's call it. You know, you have to execute certain things. And, you know, really a lot of it is the fitness leading up to it, which is why I'm so much on my P's and Q's of what goes down the hatch right now. But what we talked about, which is what I'm going to bring to the stage, she said a lot of what she coaxed me towards was to practice gratitude. She said, you know, right before you go on stage, what are you going to think about each time? And we came up with just, I'm so grateful. And that's exactly how I practice right now. Like, I'm so grateful for my coaches. I'm so grateful for the people supporting me and my friends and family that, you know, are supporting me in this crazy journey I've been on. You know, I'm so grateful to be here. And just, there's just a long list of people that helped me get there. And, it's a better mindset to walk onto a stage with, rather than, oh God, I hope I, she looked better than me. I look terrible. Like that kind of stuff that, and that's why I engaged a coach for my mindset, because I know thyself, and I didn't want to get on stage and not know what to think. I know what to do, but it's important what you think. And it's also, she's taught me, like, it's not necessarily important for me to win. That's not really, like, I already win when I get there. And it's subjective of who's going to win, depending on what the judges think. So it's important to guard my own mindset so that I don't have a if this, then that scenario going on. Rather than, I'm just so grateful to be here. I am so, thank you for noticing that I have worked this hard. If I happen to be called out, you know, in the top five, thank you. Thank you for noticing the hard work I put in, rather than, yes, I killed, you know, and I there's a part of me that is all about, like, I want to win the motherfucking crown, you know? And so I hype myself up with that. But at the same time, it's that gratitude thing. I thought was really cool that she's pointed out it to me, to have the mindset.
Is Felix going to be there?
Oh yeah.
He's going to take all kinds of pictures.
Fucking better. Or he's dead.
Okay.
Because they also take professional shots. They have a photographer, yeah, at these events. But I told him I want him to film my whole, you know, everybody that's in each of my class, you know, divisions.
Okay.
Just so I can see it.
Have you seen your bikini yet?
I have. It does not have rhinestones yet. I'll get it on Thursday.
Okay. I can't wait to see it.
I had a fitting yesterday, and what was crazy. So Charlotte Jones with So Biz has made all my costumes forever, including my wedding dress. So, now I remember in my wedding dress, looking at myself and being like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Oh, this is terrible. Her mirrors are so horrible here. But just because that's my mean self. But then doing this, in this bikini, her light, I look like a freaking superhero straight out of Marvel Comics when I'm there and right now. I'm like, whoa, look,
oh
at
my
me
gosh,
in this mirror. It's like, whoa, look at that.
That's so funny.
It's hilarious because it's actually what I built that.
Yeah, that is so cool. I can't wait to see it. Are we going to see a sneak peek?
I don't know yet. I've been given sneak peeks for months. Good God, have you watched?
No, sneak peek of the baby, of the bikini.
I might give you one.
Okay. Okay. I can't wait.
The big reveal needs to be the stage shots. Or actually, if you follow me on Instagram, well, by the time this episode airs, it'll be gone. But it'll be in my stories highlights at UltraFit Lifestyle, because I'm going to pretty much document everything that I do that day on Instagram stories, rather than try to do Instagram and Facebook, because there's going to be a lot going on. Yeah. So follow me on Instagram.
Is that on Friday or Saturday?
Saturday. Friday night, okay. I will have some preview stuff, because there's check-ins and, you know, meeting some of the girls on my team. And So it will, the fun will start.
And then cookie eating starts when?
After the show.
Okay. Is Felix going to be standing by with a...
He's not in charge of my cookies. I can't trust him with that duty. I'll have them in my suitcase. He also might eat them. So they're going to be with me. So I'm pretty sure that I'll be able to finish the competition, eat some cookies, then go change for dinner, and then go eat dinner.
Here, a quick question before we wrap up. Has Roxy been along with this journey with you?
You mean following it with me? Hell no. You should see the bag of candy from Halloween. No.
No, I mean, like, what are her thoughts about you being in this competition?
I think that she doesn't quite get it. She's very tweening right now, so she's curious. Yeah. And we've talked about it. And I'm like, dude, because she's getting that, you know, everybody's been there, and especially it happens in the new year where people are like, I really need to do something to be, I'd like to be in better shape. I don't want to do it. And then, okay, I do want to be in better shape. Let's take a look at what's out there. Then we put a baby toe in and try a little something. Then we get committed later, you know? And so she started talking to me about it. And I'm like, 12 is the minimum age to work out at the gym right now. So you can come with me anytime. And like, I'm your man. Like, what do you want to learn to do? Do you want to, like, anything you want, I will teach it to you. But I'm also not trying to force it on her. She sees.
Yeah, I was just curious because I remember tweening when my mother was taking belly dancing lessons, and she had all these belly dancing costumes, and she would like literally dance at our house during like family parties, and I would be mortified. I'd be so embarrassed by this activity. I just had that flashback.
How funny. Well, Roxy's grown up seeing me on stage. So, you know, she just, she's used to not seeing all the work behind the scenes. She's used to being backstage and hearing the crowd cheer. She's not used to seeing something like this. This is like the iceberg under the water rather than the iceberg you see above water. So she's, you know, she doesn't really know exactly what is going on in this until she sees the pictures and things. She's used to me doing crazy stuff.
Is she going with you?
She is not going with me. She's going to stay with her dad because she, number one, she probably would be bored. And number two, since it's my first one and I have so many things to learn, I kind of rather just be on my own so I can not screw anything up.
There you go.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Yep, and it's kind of far away. So, all the fun things.
Well, cool. Well, cool. Well, this was a fun little episode, our 100th episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About.
I'm glad it wasn't too serious because we're not too serious all the time.
Yeah, we were just kind of a little bit here, a little bit there, but this was a good reminder. We don't know what we don't know yet. When this episode comes on, what's going on, who our president is, if we have a president. It's also a good reminder that it took a long time for us to get the right to vote. And even with that, that didn't give all women the right to vote. So we need to continue to get out there and make shit happen. Not just for ourselves, but for all of our sisters.
Yes. And if you enjoyed this episode or any other episode of ours, please do us the greatest compliment of sharing our podcast with someone you know who might benefit, and so we can spread the love to more people.
For more information about this show, all the things, Rachel, me, Keith, all the things, womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com is the place to go, including all of our socials. You can find all of our information there. And am I missing anything? Does that cover it all?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. All right. Well, that's this episode number 100. Hey, Warners, thank you so much for listening to us and loving us and sharing us. We appreciate it. We appreciate having you as listeners. But it's time for us to go. So, Rachel, kick ass this weekend.
Hey, by the way, don't forget to hop over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review because that helps us get heard by more peeps. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Bye, Warners.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.